With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Week 9 starts it. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and it's week 9. It's time to start them and sit them. We got a lot of teams on bye, so it could get a little dicey today, but that's okay because your friends are here. Andrew Erickson's here to help you sort it all out. Derek Brown, D-Bro, the King of Bros, is here to sort it out with you as well. And after the show today, speaking of sorting out, Andrew Erickson's got important stuff to do. He's got to find a DJ for his wedding. I got to ask you, Andrew, is he going to talk like this, like all DJs talk? Hey, here's the bride and groom. Please tell me yes.
No, that is the one thing I'm looking to not have at my wedding is a DJ that talks like that. We're not going for the club scene here. We're going through a nice,
really
nice wedding. Yes, that's the goal.
Okay, no rave, no glow sticks.
No, I mean, know. We're gonna run out. We're gonna run out as our introduction, like we're running out of Gillette Stadium to Crazy Train. But besides that,
are you really? That's fun.
It is gonna be fun.
I don't know, D-Bro, no glow sticks. I think we should reconsider this wedding crashing trip we have planned for next June. What do you think?
Can we still get refunds on the plane tickets? Is that possible, Joe?
Probably not. So we might as well just go anyway. There is an open bar still. As long as we have the open bar, we're still okay.
Well, I mean, there won't be a wedding next June because it's in 2024. So you guys can crash whatever weddings you want in June 2023.
Oh, I meant 2024. Yeah, right. Whatever. We're gonna be at the rehearsal dinner.
Don't worry.
For that,
we know when
comment.
It is, Erickson. It's all right, okay. We'll be there.
Let's move on with the starts and the sits here.
Start or sit.
And of course, we're always going to kick things off here with the RB position. And remember, we've got tools to help you out too. Start Sit Assistant is available on my playbook. We'll talk more about that later. But let's start with the RBs. D-Bro, you always take us through the running backs. Give me the guys you want to start in week 9. Who do you want to kick things off with?
So first is looks like an ugly name on the surface, but Kenyon Drake. I've got him ranked as a top 24 running back for the week, and ECR has him as an RB3 sitting at RB31. And some of this is projection that Gus Edwards is out or going to be limited this week. That's kind of up in the air. But Kenyon Drake, since week 6, he's been productive, guys. Like, I know the name, and I know everybody kind of got burned by picking him up, then dropping him on waivers, then, got to pick him up again. But since week 6, he's averaging 11 touches per game, 66 total yards. He's top 6 in breakaway run rate, and his is RB finishes. RB7, RB62, and RB14. So, in a game where Lamar Jackson's probably going to be limited on pass-catching options with Andrews banged up, Bateman's out, they're going to run the ball. In New Orleans, you can do that this year. They're 14th in rushing yards, and they're 23rd in open field yards. So, yeah, Kenyon Drake, feel good. As scary as it is to say, feel good about starting him this week, Joe.
Yeah, I can understand that. But, look, it's a scary week. We're missing a lot of players, so we can't all be choosers here. Sometimes we got to be beggars, and continuing to look at the Baltimore health report, it's not great. So Kenyon Drake certainly should be busy, one would at least imagine. Give me another guy at the RB position you feel at least pretty good about rolling out there in week 9.
Well, another guy that's going to make it into my top 36 running backs, I have him at RB29. ECR is a little bit behind me, and I might bump him up a little bit more because the matchup is great. It's Caleb Huntley. And yes, his value is totally tied to what he does on the early downs, but last week we saw best game of the season. He had 16 carries, 91 rushing yards. He's going to flirt with 15 to 17 touches in this game, which is a wonderful matchup for running backs. We know you can run on the Chargers. That's not a new statement to anybody. 27th in rushing yards per game. They're 27th in EPA per rush. And Huntley has been quietly explosive. He is top 25 in yards after contact per attempt and PFF elusive rating. So really, I mean, come on, guys. When you were making out ranks this week, didn't it feel like past RB 14 or 15, you could really make a case for like... What, like 30 running backs in split backfields this week? It's crazy.
I guess. Or not make a case for them, depending on how you look. But are you overrating? I know it's the Chargers. Like, I get that. But at the same time, with looming Cordero Patterson, with Algier still there, do you think there's enough to go around? Or are we overrating that whole 16 for 91 performance we saw last week?
I mean, I'm not overrating it because he's had in the neighborhood. What I'm betting on is not only the matchup, but the volume. He is going to get double-digit touches in this game, and he has gotten red zone work in this offense. And come on, if we know anything about the Falcons, one of the few things we know about the Falcons is that Arthur Smith is like, we're going to run the ball. Doesn't matter if we're down by 50, we're going to run the ball, baby, all the time.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, if Marcus Mariota was my quarterback, I would run the ball every single play. Let's get to the third guy on your list to start in week 9 in the NFL.
So again, we're going down the projection lane, and I don't think that DeAndre Swift plays this week. I mean, look, at the very least, we got to be taking this with a grain of salt. Any kind of practice reports that come out of the Detroit Lions, because Swift was full in practice all last week, and then he came out and did nothing, and then we hear after the fact that he wasn't 100%. Well, he practiced in full. What's going on here? And then Dan Campbell says, well, we might have given him too much work, although he didn't even get double-digit carries. So this all leads me to believe that I don't know if we see Swift this week. And if this player is sitting out on the waiver wire, I got him currently as an RB4. If Swift, when he's ruled out, the matchup is fantastic. And we know Jamal Williams' role is not going to change. Craig Reynolds is a guy you could pick up as a flex play. And I get we're going deep here, but it's Bimageddon. We have to go deep. We have to look for these guys. And if there's a consistent theme about the running backs that I've talked about so far, it's not only opportunity, but also really good matchups. So you look at Detroit, how are they going to possibly stay in this game with Green Bay if Aaron Rodgers comes out and has a banner day versus their secondary? It's by running the ball. So Craig Reynolds has been quietly efficient. Over the last two seasons, the guy has been near the top in most efficiency metrics, yards after contact per attempt, elusivity, like PFF's elusive rating. So yeah, I know it sounds like we're going a little bit too far down the rabbit hole here, but I mean, in a lot of leagues, I mean, come on, look, y'all are looking at your lineups here, Joe Erickson. Like, it's getting
y'all know what
out
you
here.
Need. Y'all know what you did. Is that a common phrase in the Derrick Brown household? Y'all know what you did.
There's a lot happened. Of y'all throwing around. Yep,
yeah,
no doubt.
There is. That's tremendous. And a lot of used guys in my household. No, but seriously, Andrew Erickson, after spending an hour with you on the YouTube live stream that we do every Tuesday at 12:30 Eastern, we talked about a lot of these guys. In fact, we talked a lot about Huntley. We were on opposite ends on there. And we talked a lot about Drake. Now, typically, I would just ask you about Craig Reynolds here. But I'm going to kind of open season it for you, because I know you've got all the feels, as the kids like to say, about a couple of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Kenyon Drake, I'm more in line with ECR. So I have him right around RB30. So not as high on him as Debro is. But I understand the argument. But I also understand that Justice Hill could just have more carries than Kenyon Drake. Like, every time we try to project the Ravens backfield, we're wrong. It's someone else that ends up having the most carries in the game. You know, they're going to get Patrick Ricard, you know, 10 carries for the fullback. So I just, every time Drake, it looks like he's like slated up. You know, you talked about, you pick him up, you start him, you drop him. Like, there's a reason that pattern has been happening, because he's not been consistent. And I know you mentioned some of his efficiency metrics. I mean, how much of that is just tied to that one long touchdown run he had? Like, I feel like that's a lot of what really went into his production. So, I mean, the Saints just shut out the Raiders, one of the top offenses in the league. Like, who's to say the Ravens are even going to score that many points in this game? So I'm in line with ECR. I understand with bye weeks, he's still projected to be the starter, so I get the play. Caleb Huntley, I like more personally. You know, he has 16 plus carries in two of his last three games. I think that he's more of the banger running back, whereas Algier got there last week because of the receiving touchdown, but Huntley was better on the ground, and Huntley got the lone goal line carry for the Falcons. So if there is no Patterson, I actually prefer Huntley over Kenyon Drake. And then with Craig Reynolds, I think it makes a lot of sense. If DeAndre Swift misses, you see Craig Reynolds take over that DeAndre Swift role as a receiver. So if we have a scenario where the Packers are playing with a lead, we're not going to see that much of Jamal Williams. And Jamal Williams is less likely to take advantage of a bad Green Bay Packers run defense because he's not explosive. He's not as explosive as a rusher as Craig Reynolds is, who can actually take advantage of the more open lanes that the Packers run defense allows, because Jamal Williams, his fantasy value is really tied to touchdowns. And Green Bay is a top five red zone defense. So I think that Craig Reynolds is a sharp play.
Well, they might be without Devondre Campbell and Quay Walker, too. So we'll see how that all plays out, because that certainly changes the LB calculus for the Green Bay Packers. All right, D-Bro, give me the guys you want to sit at RB as if we have that kind of luxury, or at least the ones we're concerned about.
Well, the guys that I'm a little bit lower on versus, and I'll term it that way, because with all the bye weeks, we don't have a lot of luxuries to sit a whole lot of
Let's make that the caveat for this show. All the guys we're sitting, quote unquote, are the guys that, look, you probably have to play anyway, but at least you're trying to look to your flex spot and trying to build that up because you don't love the situation.
Absolutely. And this comes down to some of this is matchup. So actually all of these guys, it's all matchup based. And you don't feel great about playing them. And look, if I've got wide receivers in a lot of the same tier, or at least in the same neighborhood as these running backs I'm about to mention, I'm probably going to be pushed to the wide receivers because I don't want to play David Montgomery this week. He's RB25 in my rankings. ECR has him as a locked-in top 24 play. I'm probably going to push him a little bit further down. I would rather play one. I believe in Khalil Herbert's talent and explosive abilities over David Montgomery. I mean, I look at the Chicago backfield as David Montgomery is the slightly shinier version of Zeke, and Khalil Herbert is Tony Pollard. When I want to play the slow, plodding Ezekiel Elliott versus the Miami's run defense, which is top seven in rush success rate, they're top five in adjusted line yards and second level yards, and they're top 10 in explosive run rate. That's not a player I really want to look to roster outside of desperation flex, RB3, and again, I'm just lower than a consensus on him. And the next backfield that I will talk about here is the Washington Commanders. ECR has Antonio Gibson as a top 24 running back. And again, I understand it's bye weeks and you can make a case for a lot of these guys. And Antonio Gibson has been playing well over the last few weeks, but it's difficult to get behind a top 24 running back that's only played 33% of the snaps of the last 2 weeks. As efficient as he's been, you still have a Vikings run defense that is top 12 in rushing yards per game, EPA per rush, explosive run rate. So this is going to filter down to not only Antonio Gibson, but Brian Robinson, who lost the snap battle to Antonio Gibson last week, and people still have him at RB26. Now, I've got him at RB30. I'm going to push him down a little bit further because you're talking about an early down grinder who has not been explosive, now of taking on a top 10 to 12 run defense. I think if Washington wins this game or even keeps it close, they're going to have to pass the ball. It is not via running. So we can make a little bit of a case for Antonio Gibson, but Brian Robinson?
Erickson, your thoughts on the Commanders' backfield this week?
Yeah, I'm there with D-Bro on Brian Robinson, kind of like being lower than consensus on him. I'm at RB30 as well. And I think with Gibson and listing off the Minnesota Vikings defense against the run, but I don't think that's the reason you would play Gibson. I think it's the pass catching that he's shown over the last 2 weeks that's really the reason you want to play Antonio Gibson. You look at the Minnesota Vikings defense, ton of zone coverage, second most in the NFL, and Antonio Gibson leads the Commanders in zone targets over the last 2 weeks. I don't think his role as a receiver is going away. I don't think it's a fluke that when Taylor Heineke took over a quarterback, like, he has a connection with Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin, like guys he's played with in the past, he's throwing the ball to. So also consider that JD McKissick was on the injury report this week with a neck injury. I mean, his role is phasing out of this offense. So if Gibson is fully taking on that receiving role, you have Washington playing catch up against a high-powered Minnesota Vikings offense, then you could see Gibson going out and catching another 5, 6, 7 balls for the third consecutive week. So that's my spin on being more in line with the consensus for Antonio Gibson because of the receiving upside. But I agree with you with Robinson. Don't like the rushing with him.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. Auctions at pristineauction.com start at just $1, and each day there are over 1,000 autographed items available, so you win signed authentic signatures at affordable prices. Just last week, an autographed Justin Herbert jersey sold for just $110. What? That's crazy. D Deals like this are happening all the time on pristineauction.com, and they have just about every player you could possibly want, including Tom Brady, Mahomes, and so many more. Every item on Pristine Auction comes with a certification of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators, and you can upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item when you use the code FANTASY. Again, that's one word, just FANTASY, to be sure to sign up now at pristineauction.com/register. So here's what you do. You go to pristineauction.com/register and use that promo code FANTASY, one word, FANTASY, because there are deals ending every single day that you're missing out on right now. So go get to it. Again, that's code FANTASY for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia at pristineauction.com/register. And now back to the action. Okay, let's go play a little game of who should I start at RB. And of course, that's using the free tool over on Fantasy Pros, which is at fantasypros.com/start. So let's check out Jamal Williams, who you mentioned earlier, or Devin Singletary. Andrew Erickson, I'm going to start with you on this one because you've been a Devin Singletary defender here for many, many a week. Jamal Williams against the Green Bay Packers or Singletary against the Jets this week. Who would you rather start?
Yeah, I got these guys ranked back to back. So you are really pitting me against my ranks here, Joe, like you always do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to still go with Devin Singletary here. I know that the addition of Nyheim Hines puts into some doubt what Singletary's role will be in the Bills offense, but I don't think that any Bills running back was really going to catch a lot of passes in this game against the Jets. I mean, are the Bills going to fall behind the Jets and have to throw the ball a ton? I don't think so. Necessarily. I mean, they're going to throw anyway.
You're going to make me do the Dr. Evil laugh again if you do that. You keep saying things like that. Don't do it.
They're going to throw anyway, and that means Singletary will still be involved on early downs, catching the ball out of the backfield. They have the highest implied team total on the slate. I have no concerns about if they're winning the game, who are they going to give the ball to run the football with? It's going to be Devin Singletary. They don't have Zach Moss anymore. James Cook has not been that role. That's not Nyheim Hines' role as a rusher on early down. So I still think Singletary gets a solid amount of volume here, whereas Jamal Williams, he can get totally game scripted out. Like, if he doesn't score a touchdown and they fall behind against the Packers, Jamal Williams isn't on the field. Like, they take him off the field for receiving downs for Craig Reynolds or DeAndre Swift. So I think Jamal Williams has a way lower floor than Singletary. So I'm going to roll with the Buffalo Bills running back.
D-Bro, do you agree or do you want Jamal Williams over Singletary?
I'll take Jamal Williams. I'm going to lean into the matchup here. And this comes down to also, like Andrew was talking about, with the pass game role for Devin Singletary, you have a Jets defense that's ninth. So they're top 10 in DVOA versus receiving backs. They're also only giving up 6.9 yards per reception to running backs. So I'll go with the touchdown equity that at least Jamal Williams has, because we know Devin Singletary has zero in the Buffalo Bills offense.
I will break the tie, and I will actually agree with D-Bro on this one. It's the touchdown equity that breaks it for me. And Jamal Williams, I think, has that, especially against the Packers. So give me Jamal Williams. 56% of ECR experts agree to just 44% over Devin Singletary. So let's talk about another grouping here. How about A.J. Dillon versus Damian Harris? Both these guys, the second bananas in their respective backfields, but here we are in a bye week. We got to play these guys. So, D-Bro, you want to play Damian Harris against the Colts, or do you want to play A.J. Dillon against the Detroit Lions?
I'm going to go with Dillon against the Lions here. And Damian Harris did see his work kind of tick back up into the range that we'd seen him previously, but I still think this is Mondre's backfield. I think that he's going to get a lot of the passing down, if not all the passing down work in this game. And for me, I'm going to go do the touchdown equity. The Lions, it's the Lions, guys. Like, you know you can run on the Lions. If Green Bay is not going to get it done through the air, then it's Aaron Jones. It's A.J. Dillon.
All right. How about you? Is it A.J. Dillon for you as well, Andrew Erickson, over Harris?
Yes. I continue to pound my chest for the running backs that play the Lions. So I'm going to go with A.J. Dillon here as well.
Somehow you always come out looking right, I would say.
It's always weird how it works that way.
All right. And remember, if we didn't touch on a certain RB, you're trying to think about who you need more advice on, the Start Citizen is there for you over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. You download the My Playbook app and you get all of our suite of tools at the premium level when you go to fantasypros.com/offers. 6 free months is still out there for you. There's plenty of time left in the season. And the most important part of the season, the playoff push, the playoffs, where you need all the help you can get. That's what we're trying to give you here with all the tools at Fantasy Pros. All right, let's get to the wide receivers here. Erickson, the floor is yours. Give me the guys you want to start at wide receiver in week 9.
I was giddy to see this guy available on my waiver wire. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, wide receiver 28 in my rankings. He's ECR wide receiver 39. Guys, like Chiefs wide receiver playing the Tennessee Titans. You want to get this guy into your lineups as a wide receiver three with a ton of upside. He leads the Chiefs wide receivers in air yards, average depth of target. He's seen 100 plus air yards last time he played in week 7 with two deep targets. Two of his last three games, he surpassed over 90 receiving yards, and the Titans ranked dead last in DVOA versus the deep ball this season. So we've seen Patrick Mahomes rein it in a little bit. He's passing more at the intermediate level, but if they do decide to take a shot downfield, it is to MVS. So I like him here as a top 30 play in a plus matchup against the Tennessee Titans. My next guy, Josh Palmer, wide receiver 31 for me, wide receiver 34 ECR. Keenan Allen is trending like he's not going to suit up in this game. Josh Palmer is probably going to see a full-time role anyway because Mike Williams is not going to play. But I think that we have to give credit to what Palmer did the last time we saw him. Week 6, 22% target share. He caught 9 of 12 targets for just 57 yards. The efficiency wasn't great. And that's kind of the story with Josh Palmer. Hasn't been great. You know, I think that we liked him a lot more in the offseason. He didn't really deliver, but he was dealing with some injuries to start the year. I was still high on him. And I don't think you should forget about the opportunity and what he did as a rookie, flashing with the opportunities, whether in the Keenan Allen role or Mike Williams role. Now, it's a lot to ask for him to like step up and be Keenan Allen or Mike Williams. I don't think he'll do that. But I mean, against the Atlanta Falcons, he might look like Keenan Allen and Mike Williams in their prime because it's just the best matchup you could ask for. They're allowing the most passing yards per game of any defense. All their cornerbacks are hurt. They're making trades for backup cornerbacks to just because they need help. So I like Josh Palmer as the pseudo number one wide receiver for the Chargers potentially this week.
All right, give me one more name at wide receiver you want to start in week 9.
Yeah, I think this is a guy that I think we're all pretty high on. Rondale Moore, wide receiver 27 for me. He's wide receiver 31 in the ECR. Look, man, he just continues to produce. And it's so weird when you look at his usage when he's running from the slot. It's like, yes, Cliff Kingsbury put him in the slot. But Cliff Kingsbury only puts Rondale Moore in the slot in the games where AJ Green is healthy because he basically thinks, right, I can put AJ Green on the outside. He'll just get shadow realm treatment from whatever cornerback. We'll never throw him the ball, but it allows him to put Rondale Moore in the slot. And every game that Rondale Moore has played at least 50% of his snaps from the slot this season, he has at least 8 targets. We saw him get 10 targets the last time he played the Seahawks. So running around on 98% of Kyler Murray's dropbacks, he's an every down player. Great matchup against Seattle. So yeah, as long as AJ Green's out there, play Rondale Moore.
I'm in for all three of these guys, especially Palmer. Rondale Moore, somebody you and I, D-Bro, talked about quite a bit earlier in the week. Look, it's a good potential matchup if he is working out of the slot against Seattle, too. Slot corner there, not good. So your thoughts on Rondale Moore heading into week 9, do you think we're going to get another 8, 9, 10 target game potentially?
Yeah, we're hand-holding on all three of these guys. I'm perfectly in line with Erickson's ranks. Like with MBS, Palmer, our ranks are exactly the same. And on Rondale Moore, I have him at wide receiver 26. Seattle, the biggest thing about Seattle, too, is that their outside corners are extremely good. Tariq Woolman is playing good. So is Michael Jackson. Rondale Moore, the way that Arizona can beat Seattle is attack the fact that they can't tackle at all. And they give up a ton of yak. Like, the Cardinals of Seattle are both top 3 in the NFL in yak allowed. And Rondale Moore is behind only Deebo Samuel and Rashad Bateman in yak per reception. So, yes, all the targets for Rondale Moore this week.
All right, Erickson, who are the guys we're at least fading? I know sit this week is kind of a dirty word considering how many guys are hurt. And that's the other thing, too. It's not just the buys. It's all the injuries on top of the buys. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been rough. So who are we at least not confident in week 9?
Yeah, for me, it's Drake London. I have him wide receiver 39. He's wide receiver 32 in the ECR. And we know the talent's there, but the targets aren't. He has 10 targets in his last three games. You know, we just talked about Josh Palmer. Josh Palmer had 12 targets the last time we saw him play in one game.
Drake London's not even there yet. To get 12 targets, yeah.
So in a matchup that screams that the Falcons can not only run the ball as much as they want, but run the ball effectively, like they're just going to try to take the air out of the ball at all costs against a Chargers run defense that can't stop the run. So, you know, you're hoping that the other team can force Atlanta to throw the ball more. This is not the matchup where the defense is going to make that happen, in my opinion. So I think I'm just going to sit down Drake London because I don't think the targets are going to be there for him. But my deep dive, originally it was Brandon Cooks, but he is out. So you cannot play Brandon Cooks.
He took and care of it for you. Yeah.
And I'm very skeptical of, you know, just plugging in Philip Dorsett. I know it's like, oh, he'll get all the targets. But guys, like the Eagles secondary is downright nasty across the board. Man. Like three top
CJ Gardner Johnson. We did a spotlight on the IDP show last night. Bogman and I, we always do that on the Twitter about 7:30 Eastern on Wednesday nights. And we did a deep dive. The last three games, the guy's averaging 18.5 IDP points. It's crazy. Oof. Like, he's just off the charts. And it's not even just interceptions, too. The tackle volume he's getting. He's just been terrific, man. And look, Slay, we all know how good he's been all year, too.
Yep. So I'm pivoting off of the Texans wide receivers. Yeah, you don't want to start them. And I'm talking about Romeo Doubs. So last week he caught the touchdown, but I'm looking at this matchup against the Detroit Lions that on paper, on the surface, looks like, oh, like this is a great matchup for Romeo Doubs. He caught the touchdown last week. That's great. But Alan Lazard didn't play last week. I'm expecting Lazard to suit up here, and I would expect that that touchdown equity is probably going to go Lazard's way, considering he has been the number one target for Aaron Rodgers in the red zone this season. And when you look at the Lions and how they play defense, they play a lot of man coverage. Alan Lazard, top 10 PFF receiving grade against man coverage. Romeo Doubs has a 38% catch rate against man coverage, bottom 10 this season. And I'm concerned that he's going to draw coverage from the Lions' number one cornerback, really their only good defensive back in Jeff Okuda, who has not allowed a touchdown yet this season. So that's my concern. The Lions' defense is really bad against slot receivers. They rank fourth in terms of fantasy points allowed to slot wide receivers, but they rank more middle of the pack, 16th against perimeter receivers. That's where Doubs lines up. So with Watkins and Lazard healthy, we've only seen Doubs average 4 targets per game. So for all these reasons, I label Doubs as a sell high, and I still think there's time to do so because the Lions matchup looks really good on the surface. But when you dive a little bit deeper, I don't think it's as good as it necessarily looks, and I think that he could end up disappointing.
D-Bro, do you agree? Because I'm sure a lot of people are super excited. They see the Lions, they see Romeo Doubs, they go, yeah, got to get him in the lineup this week, but is that a trap?
I think it could be a trap. I mean, the Packers can come out of this game, and we just talked about A.J. Dillon. Aaron Jones is going to be skyrocketing through the ranks. I'm going to discuss another player through the Green Bay Packers passing attack later that I'm extremely high on. I mean, look, the Packers could still put up a ton of points, and it all go to the running backs and various receivers and Doubs. We need to sit here and ship off, understand that like all that preseason hype and him breaking vanilla coverage in the preseason is gone. That's all gone. Outside of last game, he has been dreadful this year. Whether it's been drops, wrong assignments, Aaron Rodgers getting mad at him. You look at his yards per route run, PFF receiving grades, all these different things. He is near the bottom of the league. So yeah, I think it could easily be a trap for Doubs.
All right, let's play a little who should I start at the wide receiver position. This one's going to be a little trickier now. I'm going to skip this one because Keenan Allen injury news is not going in the right direction. Instead, let's go to Romeo Doubs, who, of course, I already had locked and loaded before you guys even sniffed the show sheet, and Darnell Mooney. All right, here we go. D-Bro, you want Darnell Mooney or Romeo Doubs? Who would you rather start this week?
I'm taking Darnell Mooney. Like, I've got Darnell Mooney as a high wide receiver 3. The Miami Dolphins secondary has been terrible. Justin Fields is on the rise.
Are you sure?
I said it a little bit like, yeah, Ron Burgundy on that. Yeah. Yes.
Like, stay classy, San Diego.
I'm going to go Mooney.
All right. Very well. How about you, Andrew Erickson? Are you going Mooney as well? Because you just gave us a whole lot of discussion there about Romeo Doubs.
Yeah, I'm going with Mooney here. I think the matchup is there for him. I think that the Dolphins can push the Bears potentially to throwing a little bit more. And Mooney's the number one receiver for the Bears. Like, there's no doubt about it. 27% target share, 15th, 41% air yard share, 10th this season. So when Fields drops back to throw, especially down the field for explosive plays, it's Darnell Mooney making plays for this Bears passing attack. And I'm not really concerned that, oh, well, Chase Claypool's there. Like, he's going to take away all the targets. Like, if anything, he'll open things up so Darnell Mooney sees more single coverage. Because, you know, his volume is never going to be like double digits just because the Bears don't throw that much. But maybe he sees more efficient targets with another receiver taking the defense's attention away.
All right, I found a fun one. By the way, Romeo Doubs, 67% of people think that you should be starting him over Darnell Mooney. So chew on that, everybody. Let's get to another one that I think is fascinating because on paper, obviously, it looks like a smash. But again, smash. Who's going to smash and how long is it going to be? DeVonta Smith against Houston or Adam Thielen against Washington? Now, look, against Washington, it's a pretty good matchup here for these wide receivers in Minnesota. So, Andrew Erickson, would you rather start DeVonta Smith? And who knows? Yeah, it could be a blow up. It could be a lot of Miles Sanders and then just kind of sitting on the football in the second half of the game, where maybe you don't have to push DeVonta Smith very much. Maybe A.J. Brown gets a touchdown, Hurst gets a touchdown, he's the odd man out. Would you rather start Smith or Thielen this week?
I'm still going to roll with Devonta Smith. I mean, before last week, he had the exact same target share as A.J. Brown did, you know, the month prior. So he's seeing just as many targets as A.J. Brown is. You know, touchdown variance would say that because A.J. Brown's probably not going to catch three touchdowns again. Okay, maybe that means Devonta Smith catches two touchdowns on Thursday night, as touchdowns just kind of seem to vary from week to week. So I will go with Devonta Smith there. Just go with, I like the younger, better player. You know, Thielen is looking a little bit dusty out there.
Ageist. Such an ageist. Derek Brown, Adam Thielen, or Devonta Smith for you. Again, is Smith potentially a trap in this game against Houston? Because it might get out of hand real soon.
Smith is a top 20 wide receiver for me this week. I love Devonta Smith. And this comes down to the Houston Texans run a ton of zone coverage. Devonta Smith is the weapon that the Eagles use versus zone coverage. He is one of the best wide receivers, whether you're talking about PFF receiving grades versus zone, yards per out run. He is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL this year versus zone coverage. I think Smith is in for a huge game.
I agree. I'm just trying to stir the pot. 91%, by the way, agree. Even though they're back-to-back in the rankings, 91% Smith over Thielen. So
we're all ageists, apparently, it looks like. Or at least the consensus is.
Where do y'all have Adam Thielen at? Because I don't have this close. Like, Adam Thielen's wide receiver 30 for me.
Well, you're not the consensus. You're Derek Brown. So you have your own rankings, and that's how it works. And you can see them at fantasypros.com.
Okay, see?
I'd have to bring up my rankings here again. But in the meantime, I have business to do. Like, talk about the touchdown contest over fantasypros.com/chat. That's right. It's free to join the Discord. But remember I told you about the offers? FantasyPros.com/offers, right? You make the deposit, you get the 6 free months, right? The premium product. You get to go call touchdowns, and you get to win maybe a Stephon Diggs autographed jersey. And if you win the week, you at least get $25, I believe it is, to our a gift card to our Fantasy Pros shop. You get a hat, you get a t-shirt just for hanging out and calling some touchdowns. I mean, come on. It's a fun time. So go check it out on our Discord. Let's get to the QBs. Who should I start? Aaron Rodgers or Jared Goff? They're going head-to-head. This is a juggernaut of a matchup between these two. So, all right, let's lay it out here. I know the Lions defense is the Lions defense, blah, blah, blah. But Andrew Erickson, push come to shove, you only got room for one QB. Are you going to start Rodgers or are you going to start Jared Goff?
I'm going to start Aaron Rodgers and then tilt my face off when Jared Goff throws two garbage time touchdowns.
That's a good answer.
Yep.
That's, I feel like there's, I wish C was the answer here that like we could go do. I feel like everything's going to be wrong. Adam Thielen, by the way, I have at 27. I found him here. So not too far off.
Yeah, right, so you're an ageist too. Good to know, Joe.
Yeah. Like I told you, I'm just trying to stir the pot. My job is to stir the pot. I know my answer. I want to know your answers. And I want to probe around for all the people who are listening to the show so they know why those answers are the answers they are. What's your answer about quarterback, Rodgers or Goff?
It's Rodgers. Goff, the Packers' pass defense has been improved the last few weeks. And yes, I'm going to be tilting my face off, but I have Rodgers as a top 10 quarterback right now.
You know, I did this a couple weeks ago when he was going against the Commanders. And I've learned my lesson. So I'm going Jared Goff. I will stand on this island. You know why? Because... You want to take a guess how many QB1 finishes Aaron Rodgers has had all year? You want to take a guess, boys?
One.
I think
zero.
One.
One.
No, yep. One. He's had one. Enough is enough. And look, and we could say, oh, well, you know, different matchups. No, he's had some good matchups in there. He's had opportunities, Washington being one of them. Some of these games were tough. Look, I understand the Vikings defense. I mean, the Lions defense is what you want to go against. I understand that. I've lost faith in Aaron Rodgers because he has no faith in the rest of his team. I can't do it anymore. Jared Goff, by the way, has two QB1 finishes. There you go. That's twice as good as Aaron Rodgers. No, seriously, I can't tilt my face off like these two. I'm just not going to do it. Let's get to really gross stuff here. Let's talk about bye weeks in Superflex leagues. Davis Mills or Zach Wilson? And no, you can't say other. Andrew Erickson, who you want to start?
I'm starting Zach Wilson because he at least has weapons.
Garbage time.
Like he has weapons. They threw the ball 40 times last week. Davis Mills is throwing to Philip Dorsett, Chris Moore, a bunch of tight ends that were all like cut from other teams. Davis Mills has zero upside in my opinion. So I'll go with Zach Wilson.
I'm concerned Zach Wilson could not see the rest of this game at some point. Like, I don't know if it's Mike White. Apparently Mike White has gone ahead of Joe Flacco. I got that memo yesterday. So I don't know. I think there's a small chance where they look at things and they go, you know what? We're a good football team. We're competing. if Zach Wilson can't get it done, maybe we move to somebody else who can, and then we figure it out in the offseason. Derek Brown, I know this is ugly, but this is week 9. So where do you want to go? You want to go Davis Mills or Zach Wilson?
This is so gross. I can't believe we even have these choices to make.
But it's a real choice. I mean, Superflex, I know, it's you're real. Lucky if you it's, have two it's choices bad. Sometimes. And you know what you could say? I would rather play another wide receiver or running back.
Oh, I would
That's
do that.
Valid. I think
easily. Easily.
But let's say you don't have any good ones. Let's say they're all on bye. So now you got to pick a quarterback.
Fine. I'll go with Zach Wilson. And here's the thing. Davis Mills, I mean, can we project him for negative points in this game? Like,
dude, he's just going to hand the ball off.
It's so bad. Like, he got destroyed by the Tennessee Titans secondary, which we're talking about. Yay, let's go, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And Davis Mills looked like he was a junior high quarterback out there. It's going to be rough versus the Eagles. So, yeah, I'll take Zach Wilson. Even if he only plays half, he probably gets more points than Davis Mills this week.
Well, it's funny because Davis Mills, 78% over Zach Wilson. Now, again, this was yesterday before the Brandon Cooks stuff just broke a little while ago. I imagine that's moved a little bit, but I don't know how much. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, 67% to 33% over Jared Goff. So I'm going to stick in the minority there, but it is a tough time. I hope you all picked up Justin Fields off the waiver wire, like we told you a couple weeks ago. All right, let's go to tight end streamer of the week. This is another tough position this week. D-Bro, let's start with you. Who's the guy that you think this week might be able to get plucked off the waiver wire and you throw him in the lineup and might be okay?
So I'm going to give a caveat here. I know I'm kind of violating the rules here a little bit in streamer circumstances because this guy is ranked inside the top 10 for ECR. I have him at tight end 6, but I'm going to bring this up because he's only rostered in 58% of sleeper leagues, 55% on Yahoo. So he's out there. He's out there, people. And this is Bob Tonyan. I think he's going to be having a fantastic game. I think he's one of the few guys that Aaron Rodgers trusts in this passing attack. And you look at Detroit. They're 32nd in DVOA versus tight ends. They're top 5 in catch rate. They're 9th in receiving yards. They're 7th in yards per reception. And they've allowed the 4th most receiving touchdowns. And Tonyan's had games in the last few weeks where his route rate has climbed a ton. Against Buffalo, 84%. Against the Jets, 69%. I think Tonyan's going to have a fantastic game.
All right, Erickson, how about you? Who is the streaming tight end for week 9 in your opinion?
Looking at Noah Fant, I have him at tight end 14. He's ECR tight end 19, which I think is really, really low because they're playing the Arizona Cardinals. Now, they rank last in terms of fantasy points allowed to tight ends this season. The last time we saw Noah Fant play them just a couple weeks ago, caught 6 of 7 passes for 45 yards. He led the team in targets the last time the Seattle played the Cardinals because Arizona's defense really wants to keep things in front of them. It's a reason why they've allowed the most yards after the catch of any defense this season. And where do tight ends make their bread and butter? Joe, bread and butter, Noah Fant after the catch. So that's why I think that he's a solid option here. And also, too, I want to mention that he did pop up in the injury report this week. So if he can't go, Will Dissly becomes that guy. They've been switching off usage. So that's like the one thing that's I'm concerned about. I can't rank them too high because they both run a very similar amount of routes in the offense. So, or if Noah Fant is already rostered in your league and Will Dissly is out there, I don't mind throwing him in there too as well, because I think both of them obviously benefit from the matchup.
Man, I just got bread and buttered on the podcast. I didn't think that was going to happen. Did not have that on the bingo card today. All right, let's get to a little, who should I start at tight end? Robert Tonyan or Mike Gesicki against the Bears? D-Bro, I'm going to put your Robert Tonyan love to the test.
I mean, I've got Tonyan as a top 6 tight end. I've got Gesicki at tight end 11. It's easy.
Ooh-wee. That's spicy. All right, Erickson, how about you? Robert Tonyan or Mike Gesicki? All of a sudden, starting to be a little bit more relevant. I like him as a streaming tight end this week. He's my dude.
I do not like Mike Gesicki this week, actually. So I'm going with Tonyan. And the reason I don't like Gesicki is because his route participation went down in week 8 because Durham Smythe was healthy. It was at 58%, which is extremely low for a tight end that you need to be up in the 70% range to really be consistent in putting out production. So the fact that he benefited the last couple weeks because Durham Smythe has been injured, Durham Smythe is no longer hurt. And I think that's a concern for Gesicki because it's another tight end that eats up snaps and routes from the Miami Dolphins offense.
Starts and sits of the week.
Let's get to the must starts and sits of the week. I know some of you in 10-team leagues, sometimes you're embarrassment of riches with the RB position, even on a bye week. But I'm telling you right now, I hope you're starting Miles Sanders this week because it is an absolute smash. I watched the Houston Texans pretend to tackle Derrick Henry and Dontrell Hilliard for four quarters, and it was hilarious. It was better than any sitcom I've seen this fall. It was awesome. Miles Sanders is going to run amok tonight, and he might run so much that eventually Boston Scott has to do it in the fourth quarter. So make sure you get him in these lineups. Do not wait. Do not overthink it. Do not, any of those things, even if you have some big-time running backs. Like if you have DeAndre Swift, you're like, oh, maybe I should wait. No, no, no. Put Miles Sanders in. Stop overthinking. Stop waiting for points. Take the points. Erickson, who do you have as the must-start guy for the week for you?
Yeah, I'm going with Alan Lazard. You know, I'm totally fading Dobbs. I'm all in on Lazard, all in on Tonyan. And Aaron Rodgers, I guess. So yeah, we're gonna go with Lazard.
D-Bro, your must start of the week.
Erickson encapsulated this perfectly. It's MBS. I have him right with Erickson, wide receiver 28. I love the call. We've already talked about MBS, I love your call, Joe, how you got in both with Boston Scott. I think Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott, if you're in deeper leagues or dynasty leagues, they're sneaky starts. Because if the Eagles blow the Texans out, the Eagles have done nothing but run the ball in the second half. It's not crazy to say that like one of those two guys gets into the end zone in the second half in garbage time.
It's not crazy. You should think about it potentially in a DFS lineup too, if you're playing that slate tonight. Let's get to the sits of the week. Again, you're probably not sitting Michael Pittman, but you know, everyone's talking about Stingley. Everybody's talking about Sertan, and they should. They've all been great, but Jack Jones has been really good too. And with the change in OC, change in quarterback the last few weeks, I remember last year when the Colts put an absolute butt whooping on the New England Patriots, much to Andrew Erickson's chagrin and mine as well. I think New England is looking to kind of a little payback here, and Jack Jones has played real well. Telling you right now, I know people say, oh, well, look at the volume for Pittman. Yeah, like 12 targets for four catches and 38 yards is not necessarily the line I'm looking for. Again, you're probably starting him. But my expectations would be tempered. Don't think that just because what you saw last week is something that carries over. Jack Jones, one of the better rookie corners in the NFL, and he's played great this year. So I'd be concerned about Pittman. D-Bro, why don't you go? Who's the must sit of the week for you?
I want nothing to do with the flaming dumpster fire, barbed wire, total food poisoning mess of the Rams backfield. I nothing to do with it. Ronnie Rivers is getting carries. Daryl Henderson's getting carries and running routes. And we have the Malcolm Brown show is back in Los Angeles. And Cam Akers possibly comes back. We're going to see maybe a three-way split, four-way. One of these guys you're starting, and then Malcolm Brown maybe gets into the end zone, and everybody's like, oh, my God. No, I want
maybe
nothing
Todd Gurley
to do
should
with
come
the Rams
out of retirement. I mean, heck, at this point, why not?
He might run better than all these schmoes, man. It's bad. It's so bad. I want nothing to do with the Rams running back this week. Start a wide receiver. Start a tight end. Start a kicker. I don't care. Just don't start a Rams running back.
September 1st. Imagine how exciting this game was on paper, right? Tampa versus the Rams, Brady versus Stafford, the defending champs in a rematch in the playoffs. And now we're like, if Cooper Kupp doesn't play, what a disaster. Oof. This game's going to be. Oh, gross. Mm. Erickson, who do you want to sit this week?
Yeah, it's another equally gross backfield. I'm going to highlight Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the Kansas City Chiefs. So let's not forget that the last time we saw the Chiefs play, he had six carries because he did not start the game. Isaiah Pacheco started the game over CEH. And the one thing CEH has been doing this year when he's been productive is score touchdowns. The Titans are the one team that you do not want to be touchdown dependent against. They've allowed the league's lowest 6% rushing touchdown percentage to their opponents. So, yes, CEH has scored touchdowns. If there's a week where he's not going to score and save you with a score, it's this week against the Titans. So, do not play him.
Flex appeal.
All right, my flex appeal dart throw of the week. Well, it was Josh Palmer. And, of course, obviously with the Keenan Allen news that broke earlier, seeming to trend in the wrong direction there with that hamstring. Well, he's a little bit more than just flex appeal. He's wide receiver two potentially appeal right now. But look, get him in the lineup. If he's somehow even floating in a 10-team league out there, go pick him up off the waiver wire right now if he's still out there and go play him. Chances are he's not. But still, Palmer's a guy you should be able to start with confidence this week and in those deeper leagues, especially, I mean, if you had him and you stashed him and you waited and you were patient, I think it could definitely pay off in this contest. All right, Erickson, give me your flex appeal guy of the week.
Yeah, this guy's like way off the radar, but I really like the matchup with him. So Dontrell Hilliard for the Tennessee Titans. Look, he's the pass-catching running back for the Titans, and the Chiefs rank dead last in targets, receptions, and receiving yards allowed to running backs. So 29% target rate per route run, 17% target share in his last four games. If they're not feeding Derrick Henry carries, they're throwing the ball to Dontrell Hilliard. Like, that's pretty much the Titans' offense in a nutshell. And again, I expect the Chiefs to put up points, so Dontrell Hilliard could see some negative game script, which obviously benefits him as a receiver.
D-Bro, who you got this week for the flex appeal?
Before I give my guy, I got to ask Erickson, where do you have Hilliard ranked? Because I think we're probably hand-holding on this one.
I definitely have him in somewhere. I have him like above all the other pass-catching like running backs. So like the Hineses, yes, the McKissicks, like the McKinnons. Like for some reason,
I have him right above Rashad White. I've got him at RB33 because I'm with you. I think that he catches passes against a touchdown this week.
I've got him at 38. I'm not quite there, but I could see a lot of Q tags ahead there where he might end up.
What do you know? He's RB24.
What do you know? Look at that. He's
there
RB6.
We go.
What a fun thing that just happened there. D-Bro, who's your guy for the week? Who's your flex appeal thrower?
All right. So we're going to go down the rabbit hole, and I'm going to punch the truther card. Terrace Marshall. And this comes down to the fact that Cincinnati's secondary is losing Chidobe Awuzie. Eli Apple was out last week. We'll see if he plays, but he's not good either.
Him being out's a positive. But yes, Awuzie is a big loss.
Yes, big, big loss for Awuzie. And with Cincinnati, they allowed 12.6 yards per attempt to Jacoby Brissett last week. P.J. Walker's been playing better than Brissett. What do we think Brissett's going to, P.J. Walker is going to do? And Terrace Marshall showed life last week. Like, last 2 weeks, 21% target share. He had a career high 87 receiving yards last week. 2.1 yards per route run. And yes, he'll run 90% of his routes against Cam Taylor-Britt, a rookie who is allowed every target in his coverage to be secured. And Trey Flowers, 120 passer rating. So while the name sounds gross on the outside, the matchup is really good. Terrace Marshall is, I've got him like borderline wide receiver 3, top a high end 4, and I think he could surpass that if he gets 8-9 targets again this week.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
All right, let's wrap things up here like we always do with a question from you, our listeners, and our subscribers over to of course, our mailbag section over on the Discord, fantasypros.com/chat. Free to join. Go check out the community. Be part of the Fantasy Pros family. You already listen to podcasts. You might as well be a lunatic like the rest of us and hang out and talk football all day in our Discord. There's channels for everything you can imagine. Trade advice, waiver wire stuff, AMAs, stages with us, all those fun things. This is from Ferris 3238. I want to get the numbers right, Ferris. So from Ferris 3238, for flex PPR, should I start MVS or Paris Campbell? From this show, it seems pretty fair to say it's MVS for you boys. Is that correct?
MVS.
All right. MVS. Here's a question for you. Can you start Paris Campbell or Alec Pierce this week? And if you had to start only one, which one would you start for those people who have these Colts issues?
For me, it's going to be Paris Campbell, and it comes down to Miles Bryant. I want nothing to do with the Patriots outside corners, like Jack Jones, Jonathan Jones.
Jack Jones, good man.
Playing really, really good. I want nothing to do with him. So yeah, Paris Erickson. Campbell plus.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Alec Pierce. He's still seeing the downfield looks from, even with Sam Ellinger at quarterback, like he was seeing downfield targets, and the Patriots still rank in the bottom five in terms of yards allowed per completion this year. So when they do give up plays, it's not a lot of them, they do give up big plays. So I'm hoping that Alec Pierce can break off at least one downfield. So I'll go with him.
All right. So Ferris, there you go. Go play MVS there. You got that lockdown. And for those of you had Colts issues, you got bonus answers. Look at us. Always the gift that keeps on giving. And for more help, always go to fantasypros.com/myplaybook. To get that My Playbook app and check out the Start Sit Assistant to help you make all these tough decisions when we're not around, even though most of the time, let's be honest, we are. So I want to thank the sponsor of today's show, Pristine Auction. Head over to pristineauction.com/register and use the promo code FANTASY, that's one word FANTASY, to get $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia at pristineauction.com/register. We got to go because Andrew Erickson has an electric slide competition to get to with that DJ going on. Oh, yeah, boy. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on for Erickson and D-Bro. I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen.
It's up, it's up.
And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.